Okay, thanks very much, Kirpal. It's nice to be here in this session. Had some great talks. So I'm going to be continuing a little bit on things that Emily talked about and using data from the site that she described and then also some of the modeling that Carl talked about. So we're going to be estimating the impact of soil phosphorus drawdown using our APPLE model. So we've heard a little bit about legacy phosphorus during this session. So just a reminder of what we mean by legacy P, just more of a widespread occurrence of high soil P from a history of P applied in manures or fertilizers in excess of crop needs. So this legacy P is just, you know, contributing to a chronic phosphorus loss and runoff. And so that chronic loss is preventing expected water quality improvements despite, you know, significant conservation and policy efforts in watersheds. So what's the research need in this context? So what we want to do is to be able to reliably estimate how long would it take us if we stopped phosphorus applications to reduce soil P on those high soil P levels to agronomic concentrations. And then as we're reducing that phosphorus, you know, what can we expect the response to be and how much less phosphorus would we lose in runoff? So as we saw with Emily's data, we can do this sort of thing with field experiments. They take a long time, 15 to 20 years, and you'd have to be measuring soil P, and if you wanted to know the phosphorus loss that's going with that, you'd have to be monitoring too. So they can be long, expensive. So, you know, models offer us a way to more rapidly meet the demand for information that people need in watersheds to make management policy decisions. So what we wanted to do is to be able to test our APPLE model to be able to meet this demand for information as using APPLE as a way as a model to, you know, provide rapid information. So test APPLE for simulating rates of soil P drawdown using the field data from Maryland that Emily described. And then to sort of extrapolate those results to sort of a statewide estimate of the impact of soil P drawdown and then conservation practices on phosphorus loss and runoff to Chesapeake Bay. So really the second part is a little bit of a proof of concept of how we can use the model then to extrapolate out results from a field scale to what it might mean at more of a watershed scale. So the APPLE model is a simple spreadsheet model that estimates kilograms per hectare annual field scale dissolved and sediment P loss in surface runoff for a given set of management soil P erosion and runoff conditions. The model is free to download from our website. There's good supporting information on the theoretical documentation and in the user manual. So I'm not going into a lot of the detail on how the model functions here. I'll just say that the soil phosphorus cycling model that's in it is what Carl described earlier based on the Sharpley and Jones model from EPIC. So it's simulating different pools of phosphorus availability. So as we see, as we'll see in the data here, as we're predicting soil test P through time, it's simulating the bigger phosphorus pools in the soil that are buffering those soil test P pools. So I have a few slides here, just what the model looks like if you download it. These are the kind of inputs that it needs. The model is simulating two layers in the topsoil. You can specify different depths that you want to simulate if you wanted to simulate P stratification in the topsoil. And it needs information on Malic 3P initially, soil clay or organic matter that initializes our PSP variable to look at the different size of the phosphorus pools in the model. And the model as it stands needs annual rain runoff and sediment loss as inputs. And we have crop uptake. And then there's information on any manure applications or fertilizer applications. So all your phosphorus sources. So this is in the model. In this, what we're talking about today, we didn't look at phosphorus loss from any manure fertilizer applications. Just looking at phosphorus loss and the soil P dynamics. And there's also this degree of soil mixing here, which it gets to be an important parameter in some of the simulations that we did. So that just is how much of those two topsoil layers mixing. So that's going to have a big influence on the soil phosphorus dynamics and how much the model is saying is in that top layer that will contribute to runoff and erosion. So this is the kind of output that you get from APPLE. over here, so Apple's going to simulate the soil phosphorus dynamics through time in the topsoil layers, and it's going to let you know the phosphorus loss that's going to be lost in runoff and erosion at those soil test phosphorus values, or if you have any freshly applied manure fertilizer. So it's giving you information about how much is lost with erosion or dissolved forms, whether it's soil or other sources. So what we wanted to do was use Apple to test how well can Apple simulate sort of build up and draw down the phosphorus in soils. So we wanted to test that using the data that Emily described from Maryland. So that, just briefly again, we had three coastal plain sites. They were about 15% clay to 2.5% organic matter, all of them about the same. We had a build-up period of 4 years of phosphorus applications at different rates. The phosphorus application stopped in 97. There was no soil P measurements for several years, and then they started this phosphorus drawdown monitoring period for about 15 years. So there was no P applications during that period, and they were measuring Malic tree soil P in 10 of those years we have data from. So the sites were all in no-till management. There was both a corn grain and harvest phosphorus removal, and so we had measured crop removal data, that P removal data that we used in the model. So we simulated all these experimental conditions with Apple, and we're comparing our measured and simulated Malic 3P through time over those. So as you can see, so these are some of the results. So we're looking at the year during the experiment, and this is for one of the sites, the Y Research site with the corn grain harvest system. And we're looking at Malic 3P in the Y-axis. So this is an example of the kind of results that we're getting and what simulations look like. So we have three rates here of phosphorus applied. We have the no phosphorus applied at all through time, that initial phosphorus application of a total four-year application of 800 kilograms per hectare, and then the 1600. So as Apple is simulating, you know, this rapid period of soil phosphorus buildup, and then this drawdown through time. So we're seeing these curvilinear responses that Emily's seeing in her measured data. So, you know, what's important here to understand it too is that Apple is reliably simulating, you know, we're not measuring till here, but it's got to simulate this buildup and this initial drawdown period to be able to hit these points well. And it's able to do that at these different application rates. So I have a figure here. This is all the data combined measured soil Malic 3P and the Apple simulated soil Malic 3P. So this is all sites, all years, both cropping systems. So this is just all the data combined to show that Apple's able to simulate this variety of soil P levels, these different removal rates through time. And so just some statistics here for model performance. So these are broken out by the three different sites and then the two different harvest treatments. So these are statistics for our regressions between measured and predicted soil test P. So we have our regression slopes here. They're all close to one. None of the slopes were different statistically from one. Our intercepts were all, except for one instance, not significantly different from zero. R-squared's very good. Nash Sutcliffe and root mean square error results also. So, you know, we're using this data to show that for these Maryland soils and these conditions, Apple is able to reliably simulate phosphorus drawdown through time. So what we did from there is this is a pretty complicated slide. It'll probably be up here for a little bit. So what we did from there is we wanted to know, okay, if we're able to simulate these phosphorus, soil phosphorus levels, what's the phosphorus loss that goes with those? And then if we're able to draw down phosphorus through time, you know, what can we expect for reductions in phosphorus loss as we're drawing down that soil P? And trying to do that at more of a, I use statewide data here. So what the state of Maryland's been doing is a lot of soil testing throughout the state. They've tested about 350,000 hectares of soil, just looking at soil test P levels throughout the state. So what they're finding is they have these different categories of This is parts per million in Mehlich 3P, and they've divided it into these different categories. So they're finding, 80% of their soils are in this lower category here, up to, 1.5% in these very high. So there's some soils that are very, very high in phosphorus in the state. So what we did was used Apple to simulate at these levels of soil, test P, in these five, we used five different categories, what is the phosphorus loss that goes along with that? So we did that at three different rates of transport, erosion and runoff. So we have three different categories at low runoff and erosion category. So our low runoff and erosion we set equal to about 4.5 centimeters per year, 450 kilograms a hectare per year. We had a medium at slightly more runoff and erosion, and a high at, so this high gets to be about 10% of annual precipitation becomes runoff, and about 2 tons per acre of erosion. So this represents edge of stream runoff and erosion, what actually is reaching edge of stream. So basically what you want to look at this is, at this level of soil pest P and at this rates of runoff and erosion, our expected P loss is about, 0.6 kilograms per hectare per year. So if we do that for all those combinations of runoff and erosion and soil pest P, we can do that throughout the state, and we can come up with a total amount of phosphorus that is, reaching edge of stream for this statewide data. So these rates of runoff and erosion we took, and they're consistent with a lot of the modeling efforts that are going on in the Chesapeake Bay model. And they're consistent with some of our national data sets so we feel like, they're good estimates of sort of low, medium, and high. And then we have all this nice measured data for soil test P. And this total amount here that we're getting, this almost 750 megagrams, reaching from agricultural land in Maryland to edge of stream, is consistent with what they're estimating in the Chesapeake Bay model. So what we did from there is to say we did all those simulations, and that represents a current phosphorus situation, so about 750 megagrams of phosphorus loss. So what if we took all those soils that were above agronomic optimum, and we simulated in the model, what if we did drawdown? So just through crop removal at 35 kilograms per hectare per year, basically none of these soils are getting any more application of phosphorus. We allowed the model to draw down that phosphorus using the same runoff and erosion. So that would be this curve here. If we allowed the model to just draw down phosphorus, what would the phosphorus loss look through time, at that statewide level? So this green bar solid line here represents optimum P. So if all the soils in the state were at optimum agricultural levels at those three runoff and erosion categories, we'd be at about 37% less phosphorus loss than where we are now estimated. If we were to just do draw down, we could reach that, and at optimum it would take about 40 years to reach that optimum level for all the soils. So this is consistent with what they're seeing in the measured field sites, about 40 years at these very high soils to get down to agronomic optimum. So we could expect, 37% less phosphorus by just trying to draw down phosphorus in these soils throughout the state. So then we looked at, because this takes a very long time, what if we were to do sort of aggressive soil conservation and reduce our phosphorus transport, and then maybe combinations of P drawdown and reduced phosphorus transport. So we looked at some of these in these dashed lines here at lower levels of P transport. So what we're saying now, at low levels of transport, you have 65% of your land area is low runoff and erosion, 30% is medium, and 5% is high. So what we're seeing is, at the current soil test P levels, if we were to do more aggressive soil conservation, we could reduce phosphorus loss by 24%. If we were to combine aggressive conservation and all our soils could be at optimum P, we could expect maybe 51% less phosphorus loss than what we're seeing now. So a couple of these comparisons you can start to see, and if you compare some of these lines, for instance, if you're just doing current runoff and erosion and you're drawing phosphorus down, well, it would just it would take you 20 years to achieve what maybe you could do by aggressive soil conservation at today's soil phosphorus levels. And similarly, if you if you were to do, let's see, you know, you can compare it like optimum if all the soils were at optimum versus aggressive soil conservation. In about 15 years, if you could draw P down, you could reach what you could at get all the soils at optimum. So you can start to. So this is kind of an example of how you can start to use the data maybe to get realistic targets for when can we expect, our rates of phosphorus loss to be at certain levels. How long would it take relative to just phosphorus drawdown if we could implement some more aggressive conservation? One of the big messages in with this sort of exercise is the APL model is very easy to use. It's very rapid. They have some good data in Maryland. So, in a few weeks, you can actually put these scenarios together and maybe start to generate realistic expectations of where you are, where you could be 10 years, 15 years, maybe set targets for policy and what maybe in management, what's a better thing to work for immediately versus long term. So just a few points in summary. We feel that APL can rapidly and reliably estimate soil phosphorus buildup and drawdown and its associated phosphorus loss for a variety of soils and management. In Maryland, under these conditions, reducing legacy soil P, so all soils are at an agronomic optimum, has the potential, based on our assumptions, to reduce statewide P loss from agricultural land by 37%. But it's going to take you 40 years to reach that 37%. At current soil P levels, aggressive soil conservation could reduce P loss by 24%. If we were to combine aggressive soil conservation with soil P drawdown, the maximum we could expect is maybe 50% less than what we're seeing now, and this would be you probably could never do any better than that and still have modern agriculture. So to put this in a little bit of context, I tried to find out what is the USPA TMDL expecting from 2009 to 2025 is what they want to see phosphorus loss reductions from Maryland cropland. It's a little bit tough to get that information to kind of figure it out and all the things are aligned, but I was coming up with about 12%. So there seems to be, significant potential here to reduce phosphorus loss from Maryland cropland and hopefully improve water quality. But, it's still going to take a pretty big effort and a consistent effort to reduce our soil P and then reduce our P transport. So that's all I have. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for Peter or any previous speakers?
Jerry, yeah.
Peter, go back to your prediction slide.
This one or this one?
That one, yeah. Why do you assume that aggressive conservation can immediately drop down and doesn't have some curvilinear time frame that it has to take for conservation?
No, the good point, Jerry. So this is just, if you have less, these are model inputs, right? So, year one, I just have less runoff and erosion, so the model returns just less phosphorus loss at that level of runoff erosion compared to a higher runoff and erosion. But that's a great point. So, this is sort of a function of assumptions and model outputs, and maybe can help give you some idea of targets and what to expect. The time frames for that, the transport, are probably a lot more complex than what I'm presenting here. Yeah. Carl?
When you were predicting the actual soil test P values, were those predictions or calibrations?
In what sense?
Well, were you changing any parameters, or were you just taking the Apple model and just putting in?
No, it's pretty much, I mean, so the things that you enter that you don't really mess with at all are, you know, your soil properties, clay, organic matter, initial soil test P. So really the only thing that I had to sort of fiddle with a little bit was the depth of soil that I was simulating and then that mixing.
Okay.
Just so that, you know, so I simulated a 1 inch and down to 6 inches, and so you kind of got to get that soil mixing right. You don't want to simulate, 5% mixing, and then the model simulating all your phosphorus way up top in these no-till systems, and it just doesn't turn out right. So the only thing that really you're going to get is maybe that mixing. And if you were to simulate just a deeper profile with 0 to 6 inches as your top layer, you don't really have to mess with the mixing coefficient there. But otherwise, it's pretty much,
okay,
you know, straight entry.
Pretty good prediction. We're used to also assuming that wave alpha was 50% of Mallard 3.
Correct, yeah.
With the way the model works, how confident are you in taking it to other geographies in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we tested this for Maryland sites. We have a 2012 paper where we were developing these dynamics, and so we have a paper there that tested it with data from all over the world, like 20, 30 publications, lots of different scenarios about depths in the soil, stratification, whether you have build up or draw down. So we're testing here just for this conditions to look at Maryland, but we feel pretty confident that it's good for lots of different situations, yeah. Sure. But the key is that, you have to feed it runoff and erosion estimates. And it's an annual time step model, so it just gives you what to expect from that year for those runoff and erosion conditions. So it's not looking at individual storms or events or anything like that. So it's sort of a, long-term average type of conditions. But if you've got how much phosphorus is there and runoff and erosion, sure.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So does anyone have any other questions for other speakers? So let's take a minute to thank all the speakers for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like,